Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an AK.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay.
And ladylike. Give some money.
Make it rain. Make it rain, ladies. Make it rain. Uh-huh. Make it rain, gays. Make it rain.
Pledge.
Make it rain.
Episode.
Pledge it up.
Pledge.
Make it rain.
Episode.
Make it rain. Yeah. This week on Minority Corner.
James, what is going on today? What is happening?
Ooh, well, Aneke, it is get those pocketbooks out. Get that money out. It is, we are pulling out all the stops today because it is.
Every single stop.
All the stops are gone. There is just full speed ahead because we are doing it. It's our first annual, well, I don't know, they've been doing this for a while, but it's our first time being a part of the Maximum Fun Drive.
Yay! Maximum Fun Drive.
That was shake and change.
I like that. That's your no. We're not that type of podcast. We're not out there shaking our tin cans.
Our tin cans are changed. That's when we start doing the episodes just on the street with tin cans. Hey, can you? You guys have to part of the Maximum Fun Drive is to come find us and donate your coins.
Yes, we're basically the updated version of the Salvation Army during Christmas time, just ding, 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 ding.
But actually,
yes.
That, yes, and plus the actual
improv.
Show.
Improv.
I got you. So, I am going to be doing a segment called, I was going to do a Happy Oprah segment. It was going to be about, you know, how to, 5 ways to release your limiting beliefs. I wanted to empower everybody.
Yes.
But then I saw something in news and I was like, bump that. And
oh,
so instead
shit.
I'm doing 5 ways that you might be biphobic. So I'm switching it up. We'll do the Oprah shit next week, but this week we got to get down to brass tacks and business.
We do need to get down to brass tacks and cut some of those phobias out of your life. Out of your life.
Cut it out.
Get it out.
And then donate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you
and
doing?
You know what I'm doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing? Tell me.
Ask Minority Corner. I am going to go in deep on how to do some research on some genealogy for some black folk.
Yes. Good thing we got a librarian on the show. Y'all keep the research.
I know, it's a perk.
You know what's going to happen? They're just going to start having you do their research papers. They're going to be like, they'll disguise it because the corner kids are crafty. And you'll be like, okay,
no,
let
but
me
here's
dive
the thing.
In for you. Yes.
I work at a college and I don't even do those kids' papers. I just give them, I show them how to fish. Because you know, if you show a man how to fish, he can eat forever.
Oh, so Aneke's gonna teach you all how to eat on knowledge forever. Damn.
Nom nom nom.
But eat up on that knowledge. Well, let's get into this very full, satisfying episode.
Oh, you forgot. We also have the beginning of our Ashley Nicole Black interview.
There's so much, I know. And, oh my God, so much is coming at you in this episode. It is the beginning, the tale, tale beginning. Did they say that?
Tale of old as time. I don't know.
It is a tale as old and young as time. It is part one of a 3-part interview series with Ashley Nicole Black, one of the writers and correspondents from Full Frontal with Samantha Bee on TBS. Airs on Wednesday nights. So here we go. Saddle up, everybody.
Get ready.
It's time. To get ready, get wet, and make it rain.
Ooh, my wallet is wet. God, James, we have a show for everybody.
We are dressed up and ready to go. It is the Max Fun Pledge Drive, and Minority Corner is here.
Yes.
And ready to do some fundraising.
We are so ready to do some fundraising. We're going to do this up KQED style, where it's going to be some funds with some laughs, and then we're going to ask for some monies.
And then we got a guest coming in.
Got a guest.
Sinead O'Connor was not available, but we got the next best thing.
Sinead was just too busy. She's like, y'all, she's I got to get on a plane. I need to go back
and
to Ireland.
Was she on a plane? Did she yell at someone on a plane? I feel like
probably.
She did that.
I think she's Rastafarian too now.
Oh, now? Like this was a change up?
Yeah, this was change up.
Like she got married into being Rastafarian?
No, she converted.
Jewish, like, oh.
Yeah, to be Rastafarian, all you... Trust me, my people were like, we're island folk. There's not a lot of us. So if you want to be Rastafarian, by all means.
Join the fun.
Join us.
Oh, You know, can I, so I haven't, I think I've cut this out of all the episodes, but I just want to let all the listeners know. Tomorrow I'm going to Marvel Entertainment Studios in New York City to record my first episode. I am there joining the cast of Thwip, the big Marvel show. I think
Oh, is that how you say it?
Thwip. Mm-hmm. Because that's the sound that Spider-Man makes when he's shooting his webbing.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's also the sound I make when I'm shooting my webbing.
Gross.
What? That is not what I was talking about. I was talking about when I'm making a website, Aneke.
What?
That's what
you're making, my webbing.
That's what I do when I'm just making my website. So that is tomorrow. This is great. I could use this win. It's been a crazy week. The chipped tooth, terrible haircut.
Well, James is wearing a wig right now, so it's not like I can see it. Nope. Literally, I was like, I think your haircut looks nice. And you know what he did? Without a word, got up, walked to his like walk-in closet, it's stood on something, reached his arm way back into the dark, deep recesses, pulled out a wig, slapped it on his head, brushed it down, put his earphones over it, and now I am used to it.
Yep.
It looks like his naturally blonde with some roots growing out haircut.
Looks like I could be Beyonce's younger brother right now. So that's kind of what's happening. Tayonce. Why am I Tayonce, not Jayonce? Tay. Like Tay.
Tay-tay.
We have so much to get through in this episode. I do just want to jump into one thing that I would like to share something with everyone, Aneke, you especially, and we'll just... This is just on air and it's happening.
Y'all are just listening to our conversation right now.
A very private conversation. And like, did you know? I could use this win because
yes.
I was at this audition. I was auditioning for my favorite reality television show, Big Brother, which I've made it to the semifinals of this casting before.
Yes.
And
I know this.
In the middle of the casting, for whatever reason, I've been slaying my auditions.
Yes.
I discovered that I suffer from panic attacks.
What?
So anybody who's ever had a panic attack before,
no.
I feel you. I'm with you.
Oh.
I've never had one before, not high on some substance or in a mind-altering state. I'll leave it legally at that.
I like that. Legally vague.
But it just happened in the middle of it. And I was like,
whoa.
So the setup was really weird. It was the producer sitting behind this like godlike white desk with like these weird spotlights aiming at you. And it was like me standing in the middle of like four or five other people. But I'm schmoozing with him, cutting it up, you know, being super charismatic, being funny, being on.
Yeah.
And I was doing so well. But then like I wasn't breathing.
Oh,
and
no.
Breath is like.
So
I didn't
important.
Realize I wasn't breathing. And so when you're not breathing, your brain starts to not wire correctly.
Oh.
And when you're having, one of the signs that you're having a panic attack is that you think you're dying.
Oh
and
my
in
God.
In the middle of the audition, I thought I was dying.
No,
and like,
James!
I thought it was it. I almost ran out of the room. Could you imagine how ridiculous that would have been if I would have like ran out of the room in the middle of it?
Yes.
And I was doing so
but I'm
well.
Glad you
I
did
was,
it. You
said- I was engaging. I was like killing the audition. I was
yes.
like, and I was slaying it. And then in the middle, I just got really quiet.
Wow.
And then he went and asked, he's like, you already talk so much. I don't even need to ask you this question, but I will. I was mid panic attack.
You're like, God damn
I'd
it.
Just begun. And I just was like, he's like, why should you be on the show? Even though, you know, I already heard so much from you. And I was like, I'll be fun and entertaining. And that's all. And he's like, and that's all I said.
Yeah.
And then the next person went, and then I started getting into my head, and I was like, oh, that's all
no.
I said. And the person next to me, I thought they were done talking. I was like, say something, James. And I was like, well, actually, what I also would like to say.
Wow.
And he was like, you're just going to interrupt me?
Oh, that guy said that? Oh, my God. James, this is wildness.
So, yeah. So that happened.
But it sounds like you pushed through and you got through the end of that interview, though.
The great thing, yes. And the great thing is what
yes.
I realized is that, like, I never knew it was happening before when these attacks would come up and happen. And now I have a name for it. Like, I know what it is that was happening. So for those of you out there who suffer from panic attacks, my heart goes out with you. They're terrifying.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know what, James?
Yeah.
I just have to like commend you because I'm sure a lot of us have had panic attacks but didn't know, just like you, what to classify it. And now maybe hearing you explain yours, they now know what to classify it as.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to share because I've, you know, been sharing a lot of the successes and got to share, you know, hey, I still... fucking up. We're just living life too, you know? Like,
yeah, man.
Things are you
life
know, still
is,
happening.
But it's a like, roller coaster.
And why I recommend, you know, mental health is so important. I, you know, I meditation.
Yes.
You know, a mutual friend of ours, I just realized, has mental issues. And many people in our circle had been attacked by this person. And
oh, shit.
I've decided to reach out to figure out, like, you know, talk to people who are therapists of, like, what to do. Because a lot of times people, like, wait till it's too late to help someone. And it's like, oh, shit, they shot up that school. I wish I would have, you know.
Yeah, did something. Yeah. So. Oh, wow.
Take care of yourself, y'all. Take care of each other.
Damn, James. So you said that you weren't going to go into, like, Oprah stuff, but you did. You managed to get a little bit of warm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Take care of yourselves and each other. All right. See y'all next week. Donate money.
No. Hey, we got the rest of this episode. Right. We got a lot of ground to cover.
We have a lot of ground to cover. So hold on to your butts, ladies and gentlemen. Get out the pocketbooks and get ready to do it up.
Yeah.
Like Nancy Drew. Does Nancy Drew do it up?
She does it up when she's lurking around those closets looking for those whodunits.
Lurking? Is she like some old creepy janitor?
I don't know anybody who lurks more than a Nancy Drew.
Oh, really?
Oh, maybe okay. The Hardy Boys.
They are like close. I would like, that should be our next Minority Corner poll. Who is the biggest lurker of 2017? Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, Jennifer Hudson.
Or Boxcar Children.
Boxcar Children. Do these children just live in boxcars?
I only read the first one because that was fun because they were actually living in a box cart, but I think they got adopted by some rich people.
So you were like not into this series.
I'm into some homeless ass children living in a box cart.
You have a very interesting. You're sick. You're sick.
Specific.
Well, it's very specific.
Specific taste.
You're like it's a new movie genre that you're gonna produce once that's where all this Max Fun Drive money is going to. Aneke wants to create movies of. Homeless.
Stop it. No, we don't even need to do this. We need to make sure that people think that the money's going somewhere legit.
To real things. Absolutely. You're right.
Not my boxcart children.
That's not where they're going to.
Biopic.
Well, on that note, let's kick it off. Let's go fundraise because it's not just boxcart children who need money. It's podcasters.
It is. It's called the Minority Corner Kids, Neke and James.
We are the new Boxcar Children, essentially.
We're neither of us are homeless or children.
Well, we will be if we don't do a good job fundraising for this show. So true. Y'all, the stakes are high. Pledge break, pledge break. Yeah. It is a pledge break.
Yeah, yeah.
We got special guest Jennifer Hudson in here for the pledge break. Pledge break, and I am telling you.
Once again, Jennifer Hudson is not going to be donating to our show.
Give me money, and I'm a pledge break. All right, here we are. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
See you next year.
Okay, so basically, you guys, we are asking you to donate to the Max Fun Drive because we are a part of the amazing Max Fun Network, and we give you this show for free. But we don't even have commercials yet, y'all, so we're extra doing this for no money.
Exactly, just wait.
If anything, I think we're negative money right now because I bought a microphone. Both me and James bought two new microphones. Yetis, beautifuls, from our own pocket monies. And we did that because we want the quality of our podcast to come to you to sound legit and beautiful. So you're not like, gross, this sounds like static, disgusting, get out of my face. So, you know.
And y'all get, you know, it's not like we're just like, you know, thanks for the money, bye, get out of my face. We want to give you something.
Get out of here, give me your
thank
wallet.
Thank you. Mine. Thank you. Give me that wallet. Give me that wet wallet. Wet with all that money. That's not what we're doing here.
We're nice.
We'd be like, why, thank you. And here's a gift for you, a token of our appreciation. Gifts? Yes.
Damn.
But you get so much stuff. So if you are at the $5 per month, so you become a subscriber at just $5, which you can't even get Netflix or Spotify at $5. You can't even get Hulu at $5. But you're going to get hella, like, you're going to get all this, like, entertainment, all this stuff, and you're going to get bonus content.
hours of it.
Hours of it. It's not even just our show. You're going to get other shows, and like people are like pulling up the stops for their bonus content.
Oh, shit.
With celebrities,
it's so true.
And stuff. And we've got our very own celebrity, Ashley Nicole Black. You'll get the full extended. You're just going to get a little taste here on this episode.
Yeah.
But you're going to get the full extended interview of Ashley. If you just donate just at the $5 amount. Damn.
It's true. Don't you want the third part of the three-part series with Ashley Nicole Black? If you don't donate, you got an incomplete set,
it
dude.
It would be like if you just like read the first two Hunger Games and was like, I think I know what happens. You don't. You have no,
no you
idea.
Don't.
Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger. You are confused. Did she die? I don't know. Are they not hungry anymore? I can't tell you. I'm not going to spoil it. But if you donate at the $10 per month level, you get an exclusive enamel pin designed by the very talented Megan Lincott.
She's my friend.
She's Aneke's friend. So that's also awesome. Look at that connection.
I know. She's really cool.
And she has designed this. You get this amazing pin, and it is, quote, side-eye your heroes. And it has eyeballs on it with side-eyeing.
Yep.
You got to side-eye your heroes.
And I mean, you could pick there. I think that there's 10, and you could pick whichever one you want. But you know you want to pick ours.
You know you want the Minority Corner one. Because you want... Because, like, you can just be in the middle of a conversation and just be, like, point to someone, and it's a side-eye your heroes pin.
There you go.
And your friend, who also listens to Minority Corner, will be like, oh, you're right.
Ooh.
You're right. I do need.
It's like a secret club.
Yeah, and that's just at the $5 and $10 a month level. Now, when you donate at the $20 and $35 level, you get the gifts of the $5 and $10 plus all this other great stuff too.
Look at you.
Like you're getting all this shit.
Uh-huh.
You're like, it's like
you get all
it's
that
like
shit.
A grab bag. Like you're like, oh, the holidays are already over. Nope. Keep going for you.
It just keeps coming.
Happy Persian New Year for you. Because that's what this is.
Okay, so now that you know about all the gifts that you're going to get, which are amazing, it's super easy to donate. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org and click on Donate. So once you do that, you join us and you become a member. And like James just said, there are levels $5 all the way to $200 per month, whatever you can handle. And your money is going to come to us. We're going to be producing new podcasts. You're going to be supporting the Max Fun Podcast Network to get more podcasts to listen to.
So with all that in mind, how do you donate?
Yes.
Well, it's quite easy. You just go to MaximumFun.org and you click on Donate. Oh my God, that is like the easiest thing in the world.
Right?
Just that easy. And then you're going to see a list of membership levels for you to choose from. So all from $5 per month to the $200 per month one as well. And then step three, almost there. Step three, you'll provide your credit card along with some basic information and voila, you are then a member. Step four, and literally name that song where they are naming those steps.
What, New Kids on the Block?
Oh my God! Yeah. You get all the points. Yeah. The bonus Quizlet corner in the middle of it. I was like, she won't get it. And you were like, New Kids on the Block?
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to check the box saying that you listen to Minority Corner.
Yes.
Otherwise, what was the point? Let them know that we sent you. And the questions about listening habits influence how donor funds get distributed among all of the Maximum Fun shows and family. And then step five.
Yeah.
Your donation will process automatically each month, and it renews automatically each year. And you won't need to do anything else unless your credit card information changes or you decide to cancel, which why would you ever
do that to us? But yeah. It makes sense. We understand.
Yeah, shit happens. Step six, then you shake and do a dance.
Actually, step six is, you know what step six is?
What is step six?
You pause this podcast right now.
Oh.
And then you go on over to MaximumFun.org and click donate. Because you know what? We're going to be doing more pledge breaks. And you want to feel good about yourself when you hear us doing these pledge breaks. You want to be like, oh, I donated during the first pledge break. I don't need to donate anymore. You know?
Got it.
So yep. I'm going to take a pause. Let's pause right now. Let you pause it.
Okay.
Oh, are you back? You donated?
I'm back. You did it. Thank you.
That
did
was
you?
Super easy. That
Thank
was the
you
best.
So much.
Thank you. We love you. You have just supported us. We're going to have some awesome new content for you coming up for the next year. We're going to be snazzy. We're going to be more sexy on our podcast.
We're going to be more Oprah-licious.
Yes.
Because we'll be like, we can do all this great stuff because you helped supported us.
Because you know Oprah got more fabulous the more money she got.
It's true. We're going to get better hair budget. Maybe we can get a camera. I'll get better haircuts. I'll get my tooth filled.
You can see us. Yes. It will be the best. So
there is a level for everybody to be able to participate, no matter what your bank account or what your income is like. You're all a part of this community and this family. And we're hoping to reach our goal of 10,000 new subscribers. So join the fun.
And should we get back to the show,
Let's
James?
Let's get back to the show. Thanks, Aneke. And thanks, Corner Kids. We'll be right back. I'm lurking about because I'm finding the clues, just like Nancy Drew.
We both have our hands and fists. Are these microphones or glasses? Oh, okay.
The magnifying glass. I would like to point out that Aneka and I had a private offline discussion. I like to, what is in the dark must be shown to light. If Nancy Drew was a young black girl, she would have been arrested.
It would have been a different ass story. That's for damn sure.
Short story. It's just like, I'm going to find who moved this cuckoo clock.
Who let this black girl in here?
You get out of here.
What are you lurking about?
You're lurking.
Not solving shit.
Y'all need to tell that story. All right. So we have bumped the warm and fuzzy corner of like how to get your life together has been bumped 5 steps to get your life together. Tune in next week for that.
Get that out of here. Give me the facts.
The facts. Because before we get to that, like we need to solve something because we've been talking about this from day one and Queerity has finally put everything that we've been talking about to a five-point checkpoint. So we've been talking about biphobia, and maybe some folks are like, oh, that's not me. Well, it just might be.
So this is when you want to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
And you can check other people. This is just check it out corner. Check it out.
Check it out.
What it's all about. So I'm still high off all that poetry from last week.
I know. You are slamming it up.
He's right. So as we all know, we talked about this before, that there was, a study back in 2013, the Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health found that many people, including gay men and lesbians, still hold negative perceptions of bisexual folks. And the 2016 study in June at the University of Vanderbilt, I'm assuming Anderson Cooper runs that. Is it Vanderbilt?
Yeah, he's living off that money. That's for damn sure.
Well, they did a study because he was like, "What's going on, y'all?" And that
I need to know.
Bisexual people reported having higher levels of stress, more severe drinking and smoking habits, which I think is because of just they're feeling ostracized by society. And
ooh, James, is this like the minority stress that you brought up a couple of episodes ago?
Yes, I talked about that too, right? So like that, like those
our
added,
sister podcast,
yeah, and like. Exactly. And so think about these added levels of just because you're just also trying to just navigate your life. And then you've got these added stresses as well. Right. Because you're not feeling like your family like would accept you, your friends, your community, even the gay community or the lesbian community. So you got all these stresses. So how can we be there for people? Maybe you're thinking like, well, that's not me. I'm not, biphobic. Are you biphobic? Well, check yourself. Here are five signs. This is from Queerity. 5 signs that you are biphobic. If you are saying things like this, number one,
like what?
You say things like bisexuals aren't real.
Who? Come on. Yeah. If you say that, then you're biphobic.
But people do. But like but people do say it, right? We've heard this before. And Psychology Today, Dr. Sal Levine says that denial is a psychological defense that we all use to reduce our anxiety when it feels particularly disturbing. So I think a lot of these things speak more to yourself, right? So if you're saying that you're feeling like this is an attack against you and yourself and your love life. But as Queerity points out, just like global warming and evolution, bisexuality is real. This is a real thing.
Yes.
And it's not going away.
Unlike Santa Claus, it exists.
Girl, what if there are... Get the children out of the room. We forgot disclaimer.
Oh.
Some kid just got there. They're like, Mom, I think I'm bisexual and Santa Claus doesn't exist. That was a...
Well, okay.
A
all right.
A lot of information.
Sidetrack. I was 8 when I found out that Santa Claus didn't exist. And if someone's letting their under 8-year-old listen to this, well, we're like wet wallet, sexy butt, dick, vagina, boobs.
Kids gotta learn, but not about Santa. And draw the line. Let the kids be kids, Aneka. Okay, number 4. You believe that bisexuals are greedy. That's the thing that you say.
What?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of those people are like, heard that.
Bisexuals are greedy. And now, when you say that, like, also think about this. So if I am secretly bi, but I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna, fuck a bunch of ladies, and I'm just gonna, like, can't I be greedy about that, about all the ladies that I want to fuck? Or I can be a gay man who's hella greedy and try to, that just goes for... anything. And it's also just assuming that if someone's bisexual, they just want to fuck everything. Do you want to fuck everything?
Right.
A neck gay? I'm asking you directly.
Oh, personally me? But not
that was not rhetorically.
Oh, yeah. As a straight woman, there are plenty of men that I do not want to have sex with.
So it's great. So it's like, you know, put yourself in someone else's shoes. You're like, I don't want to fuck that person or that person. So, you know, people are attracted to who they're attracted to.
Exactly.
So throwing that one out the window. Except when I wasn't.
If you're bisexual, you have types in men and women.
Yes, same thing. The same rules apply, folks. I know. Mind-blowing? Yes. Mind-blowing. although I will say when I was in Spain, I did want to fuck everybody. So I was being very greedy. I had greedy desires.
Travel James. You were Travel James at that point, and you were just
walking out
living
the
high on that Spanish air.
I just had a boner the entire time I was there.
And yet you don't want me talking about how Santa Claus doesn't exist.
You gotta learn. I draw the line in that game. I gotta draw the line. Someone's gotta look out for the kids, because it ain't gonna be you. All right, number three. You say things like you would never in a million years date a bisexual. Now, when we talk about things like absolutes, does that sound familiar? Where have you heard people say like absolutes before, Neke?
Racism.
Yes. Like, people are like, you're on point today. Like, when people say, like, they'll never date a black guy, that's racist, right?
Yes.
So this is the same thing. Like, when you say that you'll never date a bisexual person, that is being biphobic.
You are being bi-ass-phobic.
Because you won't even get up in that ass because you're terrified. Mm-mm. And that ass could be good.
Don't be scared of that ass.
Get in that ass. And like same thing, like when you're saying no femmes or no fats, like anytime you're saying no to all of one group of people, that is a prejudice.
Yes. Welcome. Lesson number one from Minority Corner.
If you didn't know, it took you 73 episodes in. Oh, I get prejudice now. That makes sense. Because you know, this should have been I've had sex with a woman before, and my ex almost broke it off because I had had sex with a woman and could not stand to hear it. And like,
because your penis does your vagina,
like, isn't that insane? That's like, it's
like it left like a goo that you can't get off of it now.
Like, irate, and like, but that sort of thing, like, it had an impact on me, and so it's like. Even when I've told people that before, like even gay men, they've been like, ew, like don't, not all gay men, but some that I've said, you talked to you about it before. And so there's a bit of shame that's come into it. So it's like, I've been forced to regress.
Let's stop saying ew to vaginas. Let's cut that out.
Absolutely. And then same thing on the other side, dudes, if like your, you know, girlfriend is also bisexual and she's, you know, been with other women, that's not for your own sexual satisfaction.
No, don't be like, tell me about it. No, it's private. It's their own prerogative. Absolutely. Jesus. Unless they want to share it with them. That's their prerogative
different.
Too.
You guys should talk about that, negotiate that, and let me know how it goes. Just text me. No, did I make it weird?
No, but you know, Santa Claus is real. Sorry, that's what I was bringing it up.
Get the kids out. Rewind. Can't take it back. Number two, when you say bisexuals are sluts who will sleep with anyone.
Oh my God.
Again, do you want to sleep with any and everyone?
Right.
And the Queerity article made this really good point that, you know, the same was used for like things like don't ask, don't tell. They were like, we can't have out gay men because they're just going to, it's going to make everyone feel uncomfortable and they don't want to sleep with everybody. That's not what happens. It's like when you, same thing like with like,
it's like, come on. And what?
And similar arguments are made for like, you know, keeping the gay Boy Scouts out or gay Boy Scout leaders, trans folks going into the bathroom that they need to go into. Like, what we all know is that it all comes down to bullshit. Like, all of those are bullshit statements and generalizations. Again, about something that you don't know or understand and you're fearing.
Based out of fear. Based out of fear.
Yeah. And also, and the article points this out, what's wrong with being a slut? If they want to be sluts, be sluts.
Nothing. If you want to be a slut, be a slut, but don't hold it against somebody who is a slut.
I know straight sluts.
Yes.
I know gay sluts.
Yes.
I know all kinds of sluts.
Yes.
I know sluts A to Z. So let's not, you know, if bisexual people want to be sluts too, they could be sluts. And I say, wave your slut flag high and proud.
But this is, we're talking about self-proclaimed sluts, all right?
Oh,
we are not
it's
subscribing that term to people who... that don't know that you're subscribing it to them.
Oh, but that's just being mean and being awful, an awful human being. You're being awful. I hope the kids are in the room for this because they need to. I hope they heard all that too.
It's true. They got to learn. The kids got to learn.
Kids got to learn. This is what it's all about. We mm-hmm. are very upfront in our messaging. Mm-hmm. And Santa Claus might be real. I don't know.
Maybe. Vague. Legally.
Legally vague. I'm going to keep that legally vague, to be honest. All right. So the last one is when they say, if you say things like, oh, bye now, gay later.
Oh, that's
so... That some people think of it like, oh, it's a stepping stone, or they're just confused. Now, it does happen that sometimes it is, because mm-hmm. for some folks it is a safe sort of stepping space for them to sort of explore, right? But it's also limiting, because it also just it shoves people back in the closet, and
right.
Just because that's what it was for you that you were using as a stepping stone does not mean that's what it was for everybody else. And truth. I have to question, if this is your thinking, that maybe are you feeling that, you know, people who are bi, are they going to be more accepted by society than you? Are you afraid that they're going to be viewed as more manly than you, or they're going to be viewed as more, I don't know what it is, but perhaps it's, again, something about, you know, and like, let people decide for themselves, defining right. who they are. That
exactly.
is, and maybe that might be the case for them, but let them define that for themselves.
Right. Don't define people who haven't defined it for you. Let people speak for themselves. You don't want somebody being like, such and such is stupid at math, when they don't even know you.
They don't know you. You are their J-Lo to their Mariah Carey. They do not know you.
They don't know you, so they can't say shit about you. They don't
know you. So just to summarize that. So, yes. You know, biphobia, when you really talk about the idea of phobia, what we talked about, it's an irrational fear. If you are saying any of these things, you are suffering from biphobia. And this, hey, not pointing any fingers, the first thing is to admit that something is wrong. Like, word. I realize I have issues with anxiety. So now I've named it, and I can own that, and I can start to work through that. Because if we're very serious about having the LGBT, that means something, then we've got to start loving each other and really coming together as a community.
Yes.
Because I think, again, like, a lot of the vitriol and people are not being able to fully be themselves. Maybe there'd be, like, less sneaking around, and there'd be less, you know, hate, and maybe even less wars, that people could just discover who they are and spend time with who they want and love who they want.
It's so true.
The real problem is you. If you're saying any of these things, the real problem isn't these bisexual people. It comes down to you and your own insecurities, your own issues that you have. And perhaps it's because of, you know, phobia sometimes stem from a past thing that happened. So maybe it's worth investigating into that. Maybe a relationship that you had didn't work out, that was with a bisexual person. Maybe they cheated on you, and that, or maybe your own thoughts were driving a wedge because you were so scared that they were bi and that they were going to cheat on you.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, guess who also cheats? Straight people, gay people, lesbian people, all the people, trans people, everybody cheats. It happens, right?
It happens. Because people are people. And you know what? I really want to commend you for bringing this up, because if you feel like, if you've said something like this in the past, don't beat yourself up. Now you recognize that you said it, and it is time to fix it. This is purely why we're bringing this up, because I've said some dumb shit in the past. I know I have. I'm human. And you know what? I just check myself. I recognize what it is, and then I move forward.
Because you realized you were going to wreck yourself, and you were like, hold up, not about to do that.
Need to check myself.
I said some dumb shit in this podcast. It's just what I do when I check myself. Because you know what? I would probably have sex with a woman again, but because I feel so pigeon-held into one of these categories, like, I feel I'm scared to, because I feel like, you know, would it be fair to her? And I don't want... There's just so many perceptions, because I prefer men. I'm probably
gonna live your life, James. Really? You know,
you are Oprah Winfrey-ing me.
If you want to have sex with a woman, you go ahead and have sex with a woman. If you don't want to, then you don't have to.
Here's my thing. I just like to put my penis in things. And sometimes it's just a lot easier. Natural lubricant. It's really amazing.
Including Santa's bag.
Oh, maybe. Is it warm and tight? And where are we going? Oh, this has to be the crudest and worst one. And on our special Max Fun Drive episode. Oh! Anyways, biphobia, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yes. A pledge break.
Pledge break.
Yeah.
So it is pledge break number 2, y'all. So you're still maybe
welcome, y'all.
Maybe you still haven't taken that time to go and donate, and that's okay. That's why we're still here. We still got some episodes.
We're not.
Maybe you're not sold on it yet. We're not trying to pressure you into anything that you are not ready to
do.
No. Let's have a hello conversation. But there is something about this, like as Aneke, to add on to all the wonderful things that she also said. You know, we really, this does come from our heart. We don't do the podcasting for the money. We're not here to live that glamorous life. We're not, that's...
Because it ain't.
It ain't. We literally do this because we just care. But it does also, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to sort of, the time and effort that we do spend into this, like, honestly, like, just how to peek behind the curtains, for those of you who are listening.
Ooh.
Here, yes. Any weekly episode that we do, it's about 6 to 13 hours each week that we can put in individually, right?
That's a lot of time.
Between the research, the recording, we have like meetings. I know it looks like we just slap this shit together, but just we're putting a lot of work into it. It might not look like
we
it.
We really do.
And sometimes editing is a bitch. There has been many an episode where it was like, oh, my mic wasn't on and we had done the entire episode.
Yep.
Or I once deleted an entire episode and I had to go
re-record
all of my audio, so that like double the time into that.
That is a lot of work.
And also because we record, you know, in different time zones and stuff, like I don't like yeah. there's just a lot that goes into it. We want to give you the best show that we possibly can, and it just helps us to be able to do what we love to do.
It's so true.
And this year, the Max Fun community has a goal to get 10,000 new and upgrading members to help support this awesome community.
Yes.
Max Fun is full of fact finders and truth tellers. That's what
Ooh.
We are here.
Oh, my God. And the best part about all of this, not only do you get that warm, cozy, gushy, lovely feeling of donating, you get some fucking gifts, y'all.
So we already know what we're getting at the $5 and $10 level, but what about those of us who are going past our Netflix, past our Hulu, we're going to the $20 level.
For $20 per month, you get a Keep in Touch kit. Y'all remember how you used to write KIT in the yearbooks?
Keep in Touch.
You get a kit to do that adult style Ooh. With 9 custom note cards that include envelopes designed by Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, a 4-colored rocket pen, you know, like a pen where you can do the different colors.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
those are the dopest. Yeah, where you can switch those colors around. Loving it.
Exactly. You also get a rocket stamp that says, get in there. And you get a rocket-shaped candle that smells like sharpened pencils, friendship, and wax, which sounds beautiful to me because I'm a librarian.
And a little sexy.
Yeah, right? It's kind of
candles little, are a rocket-shaped penis. It's a penis candle.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to do an innuendo, but you know what?
Oh,
this is Minority Corner, so.
It. Kids got to learn.
At the $35 level per month, you get a rocket engraved beer mug so you can sip on some beer from your fancy glass.
Ooh, fancy.
And also, remember, you're getting everything
All the
from
other
that.
Stuff. Yeah, you're just raking it in.
Again, I know.
You are Santa. See, Santa is real. It's you. We really hope that everyone's able to at least donate at the $5, $10, $20, or $35 level. There is the $100 and $200 level for those of you who are balling, and we'll get to that at the very last pledge break about what y'all will be getting. But hoping to meet our goal of 10,000 new and upgraded subscribers.
There we go. It's so true.
You know, given like Aneke has said, it's a really beautiful community that we do have and want to see this continue going. And I think, honestly, now more than ever... these communities, like I really believe wholeheartedly in podcasts. And a lot of times people, they're like, well, podcasting, like, why is that a thing? Or, oh, it's just going to go away because there's so much visual culture. Because like with you, like anybody could make their own like video show or be a YouTube star. Right. But that costs hella production. Number one.
It's true.
Like,
so true.
And so access becomes limited. And I don't know that we would be able to do.
Good point.
This is very easily accessible for, you know, those of us who are in the minority to be able to get our voices out there and to create a community, to create space, share information, and share stories. I think part of the reason of why there is such a divide right now is because there is a lack of information and a lack of empathy. And Ooh. Aneke and I are both storytellers. We are artists. That's what, like, we are storytellers at heart. That's how we got to know each other.
Wow.
And
sounds so beautiful. I love it.
We're part of the oldest professions right up there with prostitutes, you and I.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, slobbing on the knob, we are just chatting around the fireplace.
Exactly. You had options. And then you could, after you slobbed on the knob, come to the fireplace and tell those stories, or tell your story and go slob on the knob. Either one.
It's true. But we're not judging anything.
Hell no, ain't no judgment free zone here.
Equal oldest professions.
Equally amazing and wonderful and important. Just
serving a purpose.
Pay your taxes and you're good to go. But with that is that, like, it's through these stories, like, through creating empathy, I think will create a better bridge. And I think that these communities are that much more important. So you got to kind of pay into it. You can't just get everything for free. Otherwise, it's just going to disappear. So it helps to support and keep that stuff going.
It's so true. And in order to support us and to make sure that we keep going further and further with this, with Minority Corner, here are some easy steps on how to donate. You could go to maxfund.org, maximumfund.org, and click on donate. Then you're going to see a list of membership levels for you to choose from. Remember, it starts at $5 per month and goes all the way up to $200 per month. Just pick whichever level fits you, your budget. And then you will provide your credit card along with some other basic information, and you are a member. It's pretty easy, right?
Magic.
Super easy. It's that easy.
It's like the easiest thing you'll probably do today.
It's so true. Like, and the best, easiest and best thing that you'll do. Oh, also.
Next to masturbation.
True. But that's just helping yourself.
That's actually also more work.
Yeah. But before you.
It's easier than masturbation.
Before we get sidetracked. After you put your credit card information in and you're a member, I really want to emphasize that you guys check the box to say that you listen to Minority Corner, because that is the part that's going to give us a little portion of money and help us out and really support us as, you know, the podcast that you're listening to among the other podcasts in the Maximum Fun Network that you're listening to. By answering some of the questions, it's going to tell Maximum Fun, the different habits that you have and how to influence donor funds and how they get distributed around the podcast network. Yeah. Your donation will process automatically each month and renew automatically each year. And so you don't have to do anything. It's brainless and easy and feel good. And the only way that you'll have to do something is if your credit card information changes or you decide to cancel.
Absolutely. Oh, and something I've been wanting to add too, for those of you who are already, you're like, psh, I've already been a Max Fund member. I'm already donating.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity for you to upgrade. You let me Ooh. Upgrade. You let me upgrade you.
Yes.
You can just kick it up. Add
kick
in
it up
$5
a notch.
Here or $10 there, and then you get extra shit. And you're being extra.
I
even
love
like
it.
You're like, maybe you had like a good year. Maybe you got that new job. You just want to give back. It
yes.
goes a long way. Like this, what we do is important, the podcasting world and community. So, you know, donating starts right now. Did you do it? Did you go? Did you? Oh, you still didn't donate. Well,
you
okay,
did?
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. You didn't
still
donate,
have time.
But you can do it. You can do it
right now.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
You got time. You can do it. In fact, you can do it. Okay, I think you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
Here we go. One.
Yes.
Two. Three. Right.
Now. Ask Minority Corner anything.
Anything. Ask us anything. Anything. Ah. Thanks. Jennifer
yes.
Hudson. Yes. She came back. Just
that was
that.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
She is the star of this pledge drive.
I gotta go.
I like how she keeps coming and then she has to go.
She's
time.
A busy lady. She doesn't know she's coming or going. She's Jennifer
it's special.
Hudson. She, you know, thank you, J.I.
It's nice that she keeps dropping in every like 15 minutes.
I guess she doesn't listen to the show because we say things about her that
she don't care. She knows how to support a good thing.
That's yeah.
at the sacrifice of herself.
That's why we love you, J.Hud. Love you in the heart. Okay, Aneke, what you are tackling this Ask Minority Corner anything. You are doing it.
Yeah, so we got a question from Heather E. And should we listen to it right now? Let's go listen to it.
Hi, James and Aneke. This is Heather. I have an Ask Anything question that I'm hoping you can help me with, especially Aneke with her librarian research skills. So I'm a nerdy white girl, and about a year ago, I got into genealogy and researching my family tree. And now I'm helping my husband research his family tree. But unlike me, he has some Black relatives and mixed race relatives on one side of his family. It's been a lot harder for me to find public records for those people. So I'm wondering, when people are trying to research their family trees, what are some good resources where we can find information on people of color that are part of our background? Thanks.
All right, Heather, thank you so much for that question. That was fascinating.
Yeah, and your sound quality was on point.
And I thought that I would take my time in talking to you about this, because this is directed towards me. I'm a librarian. This is my specialty. I've worked a lot with research and looking up, especially, it's huge. People love looking up their family histories because you get a sense of who you are and where you came from. And sometimes it can be complicated, like it is for your husband, to find stuff on people of color, and especially Black people in America, our genealogy. Mm-hmm. Because...
Why is that?
Well, many of you may know, Ben Carson sure doesn't know.
Ben Carson, listen, someone get this. Press pause, find Ben Carson, and sit him down for this.
He needs to listen to this. Because I would say a large majority of African Americans are descendants from slaves who are not immigrants.
They were not. This was not a voluntary
brought over
process.
To the country. Brought over to the country as slaves. And no, there was no euphemism name for it. They actually legitimately called these people slaves, which still boggles my mind. And because of that, a lot of records were gone, a lot of records misplaced, a lot of things were, you know, when you, and I hate to use this analogy because it's going to sound hella cold, but this is the nature of slavery. If you bought, you know, a bushel of pears, are you going to keep that receipt?
No.
And that's essentially kind of sad.
Yeah.
How slaves were viewed, not as people, but property,
yeah.
Cattle, animal, livestock.
Yeah.
So because of that, a lot of things were erased. But there are ways to find information. First of all, there's a lot of different ways that you could think about it. There's the slave descendants, which I just brought up and I'm going to keep bringing up. There are free Black people, which are a little bit easier to track because they were not property. So they were able to get married, have birth certificates, have records, which you can track.
Right.
And then immigrants. So that can get a little confusing because, like me, my family is from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, part of them is in other islands too. But I want you to recognize that if you were from a Black family that immigrated over to the United States, actually immigrated,
yeah,
by choice, came to the United States, a lot of times they are also a part of the Black diaspora. And diaspora means spread amongst the world.
Mm.
So, for instance, my Jamaican relatives are not from Jamaica. They're from Africa, but they are brought to Jamaica over by slave ships. So you want to go to the country of origin and then look up the slave records that way.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you start? I say, first and foremost, you go to your county courthouse documents. Okay. And you go backwards. Start with yourself, then your parents, then your grandparents, their parents, so on and so forth. So you want to look up marriage, birth, death certificates. Those give you a place, those give you a timeline, and that will start your path right, you know?
Yeah.
And then remember that just because you live in one place doesn't mean that your family has always lived in that one place. You want to track where they've been. Like, for example, my parents were born in New York. So I'm going to go to New York, look up their county records, find out that information, go to their parents, see where they were born, go to that, see that, you know,
it, yeah,
you follow the paper trail.
Right.
So that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you also want to think about deeds. Which might be hard because there's a lot of laws where, you know, people of color couldn't buy land,
right,
couldn't, you know,
yeah,
so that's hard to track.
Or sometimes their land was even taken away from them or something for
exactly
different fucked up laws that were just created to displace
folks. It's so true. So that's why it's hard to find this information for people of color because of mistreatment.
Mm-hmm.
But three things you can't take away: having babies, being born, and dying. Those are your trifecta of certificates that are going to be out there for people. Where do you go for this? So we already talked about the county courthouse records. Go to the county where people were born, where your family originates from. Follow that trail. Next up, libraries and universities. Libraries and universities are the gatekeepers to the history of an area, of pictures of land, pictures of monuments, and people. They hold all the records for all the people that you can think about, look for, understand, all of that crap. So if you have a major university at your town where you live or where your family's from, go there. They will most likely have a document source for you. And like I said, always remember to trace where your family is from, not where you're living at currently, because that's where you're going to get the best information. Another thing to remember before I go into some examples of where you can go, you're probably, if you're a descendant from slaves, you're probably, that's where it's going to, if you can get to a slave record, that's where it's going to be. And that's the sad fact of it. People were stolen from Africa and everything was erased. That's just the fact of the matter. So if you can get to that slave record, that's probably where it's gonna end. Right. And that's just the truth of it all.
That is so okay. Sad and disheartening. I mean, I know, but at least like I feel like it gives you like something to just sort of connect. And then it just made right. It made me think, it seems like, you know, everyone should know their history and family. And because, like, I don't know, like, I want my future generations to know where they came from and know
exactly
know me. I think it's important.
And it's special to know that first person that stepped onto the country, however they did. Yeah. It's kind of a nice tie. And some of you may think, oh, well, we can trace the slave ships to where they docked and picked up people. But unfortunately, slave trading got real shady and a lot of times were illegal, and a lot of times they would make several stops. And as we know, that there was a lot of intertribal exchanges. So if one tribe was warring with another tribe in Africa, their prisoners of war would get sold as slaves.
Right.
So you would be picked up in West Africa, but you could be from literally any part of Africa.
Right. Absolutely.
So, where do you go? Let me give you some sources. I did a quick little research and I found some stuff. So, the Institute of African American Research, or IAAR, it is based out of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Their website is iaar.unc.edu, and their about says, the Institute of African American Research supports and facilitates excellence in research concerning African Americans in the African diaspora. The IAAR mission is to expand understanding and cultivate engagement with critical questions, approaches, and innovative and timely studies as they pertain to research about people of African descent. Now, these sources that I'm bringing up, and remember, your local source will be where to go for information, but these are big on the national level. Right. They have huge resources. Explore their websites and get your feet in it outside of like an ancestry.com kind of thing.
Good call.
Yeah. So the next one is the Hutchins Center for African and African American Research, which is based out of Harvard. So, you know.
No, it's legit. Like, that is, throw some Harvard on it. Ooh.
Just sprinkle a little bit of ivy. And so their website is dubois.fas.harvard.edu. And the Hutchins Center for African and African American Research supports research on the history and culture of people of African descent the world over, and provides a forum for collaboration and the ongoing exchange of ideas. It seeks to simulate scholarly engagement in African and African American studies, both at Harvard and beyond, and to increase public awareness and understanding of this vital field of study. As the preeminent research center in the field, the Hutchins Center sponsors visiting fellows, art exhibits, publications, research projects, archives, readings, conferences, and new media innovations that respond to and excite interest in established and emerging channels of inquiry in African and African American studies. So if you're living in Boston, go check that shit out. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Field trip.
Seriously. And the website is amazing and excellent. So do that. Go there. The Digital Library on American Slavery is based at a University of North Carolina, Greensboro, which is library.uncg.edu/slavery. And remember, I'm going to link all these things so you guys can find the links and you'll be able to click on it.
You don't have to keep hitting rewind and be like, what did she say? Oh, my pen. Calm down. Breathe it out. Just listen. Just listen. Just go to the website. You got you.
Don't drop your pen. Okay.
Our corner kids get so frantic sometimes. Y'all breathe. Don't have that panic attack. It's true. We got you.
Just keep working through it. It's going to be okay. So the Digital Library on American Slavery is an expanding resource compiling various independent online collections focused upon race and slavery in the American South, made searchable through a single, simple interface. So you can go to this damn website and search this shit yourself.
Oh, that's great. Cut out the middle. I don't got to leave my house. This place is the place to go.
So, although the current focus of the Digital Library of American Slavery is sources associated with North Carolina, there is considerable data contained herein relating to all 15 slave states and Washington, D.C., including detailed personal information about slaves, slaveholders, and free people of color. So, if you are descended from slaves, you will probably find something connected to you through this database. Mm-hmm. And the last one that I'm going to bring up for now is the African American Gateway at Allen County Public Library, Indiana. So this one is
Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana.
Don't act like you're not surprised, because Indiana High School got called out last week for some homophobic shit that was going on there. Their former governor has some things he needs to work through himself. So I'm just, you know, a little surprised.
Be surprised, but you know what? The Allen County Public Library system, they're holding a flag. They're holding it. They're holding it down. They're trying.
Holding it down.
They're trying.
Otherwise, Indiana would just, like, implode on itself. They are, like, literally the last folks standing, just keeping it together for Indiana.
And same with our corner kids that are from Indiana. Shout out to y'all out there holding it down.
And they need you. Yeah. So hold it strong. Ooh, I am sending you a Care Bear stare of love right
yes.
now.
Yes. Yes. So, in Indiana, they have the www.genealogycenter.info/African-American. So the African American Gateway is a part of the Genealogy Center at the Allen County Public Library, but I highly suggest that you go and look around their website. The Genealogy Center is a unique and valuable resource for the northeastern Indiana community and the entire genealogical community at large. We are one of the largest research collections available, incorporating records from around the world. Our staff specializes in genealogy and is always available to help. So, Heather, you and your husband, check out these resources. Be prepared to find some interesting stories. Be prepared to be a little heartbroken sometimes. Mm-hmm. Be prepared to hopefully dig back and really explore the origins of where your husband's family is from. And you might find some stuff out that might connect your own family. You never know. These things are out there. I found some really interesting stuff when my uncle did genealogy that, in fact, my great grandmother was the first woman to sue for her freedom and win.
That is amazing.
Twice, because she got captured and then she had to sue again.
In that case, I am not surprised. I am not. Ah, hold up. Nope. And I'm gonna, you know what she did? She's like, I'm gonna use my smarts. Yep. See, Aneke?
Yep.
You come from smarts.
Thank you.
You do. Because Aneke's like, I'm gonna do some research. Yeah. I'm not, you are not holding me up. I literally just want to like refilm that. I'm like, with just starring you. Like, that is a great story. Her story needs to be told, Aneke.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? There was a historical fiction book written about her, but you know what? I'm asking for more. I'm asking for a movie.
Oh, yeah. And I get straight to the top. We're getting a movie. So that's why y'all need to donate so we can start fundraising for this. Get this story out there.
Yes.
Get it told. But I think, like, everyone, like, I think it's such a great exercise for everyone to do, especially Black folks, too, because I think it gives us more roots beyond the movie that was made.
Right. Exactly.
The remake. It gives us some real roots. And I think it might even, I think there's a lot of unsettled energy, because a lot of chaos, because there's this feeling of not feeling grounded and not feeling belonged or anything, or not knowing our history and lineage enough. And I think if we if everybody knew their history more, a lot of shit wouldn't get repeated.
Right.
Like if someone knew that their grandfather was one of the Texas Rangers who shot a bunch of, like, you know, Mexican Americans,
right,
maybe they would vote differently. Like, I think, and then we can just, once I figure out my lineage and you figure out yours, we can easily start passing that along so future generations don't have to do all that work and we just pass on our history.
Amen to that.
Get to work. Everybody.
Start researching, and remember, you always have a friendly neighborhood librarian. That's me.
Oh, good. Can I just pass mine on to you?
No.
Okay, fine, my family.
Oh, I mean, I gave you some resources, so now you can use that.
Girl, you know you can have a little side business here.
We need to get donated for this side business that we don't get money for.
That's true. Before we go to this. All right, you're right.
Oh my God, we got a treat for you guys.
It's a special treat. It is. We've been talking about this for for weeks now.
Yeah, we've been plugging this shit.
And here it is. It is the Ashley Nicole Black episode. Ashley Nicole Black, I went to college with her. We both did.
Yeah, I did too. Don't erase me out of this history.
We couldn't make it work for we couldn't make technology work to have Aneke also be there.
But it's okay. James held it down. He did a good interview.
Right. Didn't you say that you were afraid that, like, it was too good?
Yeah, I felt like Ashley was going to take my spot. As you'll notice in part 1, 2, and 3, you're only getting part 1 right now, but you'll be like, God damn it, she is witty and hilarious, and no wonder she got that job on Full Frontal. And let's hope and pray for Aneke that James doesn't replace her.
Would never happen. There's only one Aneke.
Thanks.
I am your left breast and you are my right breast.
Just together flopping around.
That's what we are. We are two floppy titties. I almost think that we should have a spinoff podcast called Two Floppy Titties.
I think that's our new tagline.
Our new minority quarter. Two floppy titties. And it speaks for itself. Well, anyways, here is at least one floppy titty flopping around with another separate titty. Oh, this is a weird intro. But anyways, here comes the part 1 of 3 parts. The second one is the third and final one you could only get if you have donated on the bonus content. But here it is, part 1 of the Ashley Nicole Black interview from Full Frontal. All right, Minority Corner. We have a very special guest with us today. I feel like I'm staring deeply into your eyes.
I know, I was like, I don't
need
to make eye contact while you do your intro. I'll just sit over here.
Got really awkward. we have with us Ashley Nicole Black. She is a comedian. She's an activist. She's an actor, writer, genius woman extraordinaire. She's also a nasty woman. Is that true?
I'll accept genius and nasty, but not activist.
Oh, okay. Really?
I feel like I talk about things and I try to inform people of things, but activists are on the street getting it done.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I learn a lot from you. I follow you on Facebook. And you say a lot of things and I'm like, oh, yeah. And you have a funny way of putting it, too.
Yeah, that's being a comedian. I feel like activist is a title you have to earn.
That's when you lace up your boots and you go out on there. So for those of you who don't know, Ashley is also one of the writers on the Samantha Bee show. Yeah. Thank you for that show, because it's actually where I get all of my news from.
Oh, no.
Is that bad? I only get news once a week.
I mean, it's healthy, but it's not good.
It shouldn't be my only news source. What sort of role do you see that this show in today's world and environment, even pre-election and then even now, what does your show do? What is its importance?
I think now it's a big thing, and you can't really underplay this. It's just giving people a feeling of you're not alone. Someone feels the same way you do. Here's an outlet to laugh once a week. We hope not to be people's only source of news. Although the news is terrible and it is very hard to watch. And if you want to take a week off and just watch Samantha Bee, that's fine, but not every week.
Well, but it's actually, I watch your show. I watch John Oliver's show, The Daily Show, and even Seth Meyers, A Closer Look. Because I also find that I'm hearing things, and even before the election, I was finding out information to stuff that no one else was talking about. And just sort of some of the I don't know what you call them, in-depth looks of, like, you did, like, a history of, like, why people, like, for so long, people didn't like Hillary Clinton. And you all, like, looked into that and, like, dived deep into it. Or, oh, my God, the craziest one was the governor from Maine.
Yeah.
How he was, like, pre-Trump before there was even a Trump. And no one ever talks about that sort of stuff. And so I appreciate, because it's sort of like what you're saying, I feel like I'm at home, like I can like laugh with my friends, you know, because you got to have a laugh about it. Like,
yeah, you either laugh or cry or both.
Both at the same time. Yeah. Right. So you, so for those of you who don't know, also, me, Ashley, and Aneke, Aneke couldn't be here with us because she's all the way on the West Coast, and we couldn't figure out how to make the technology work. So listeners, if you know how.
Please write in
through Carrier Pigeon. Keep it at old school. And you're also late. We already recorted this, but for next time. But we all went to UC Santa Cruz together.
Yes.
Yeah, we were like a handful of Black folks that were there.
All of them, maybe.
And I have my connection between you and Aneke is that, like, I have been in shows with both of you.
Yeah.
And Aneke and I were usually brother and sister or dating. And you and I were best friends.
Yes. I saw Dana, who went to college with us last night.
Yeah.
I did an improv show and she came to the show. And she was like, hey, remember when we used to do improv in a barn? And I didn't until she said it. And I was like, oh, yeah, multiple times a week for 4 years.
It was a lot. Yeah. You were in Someone Always Dies.
Yeah.
Sad. Which was a long form improv.
Yes.
What is, for those who don't know what long form improv is, what is long form improv?
Long form is like you're improvising a play, like you're making a complete thing.
Yeah.
And short form is like, if you're familiar with Whose Line Is It Anyway, you're playing games, but you're not making one complete expression.
Do you still do long form or is it short form?
I still do long form.
Yeah.
I've done short form too. I think like comedians like to turn their nose down at short form, but a lot of places short form is the only way you can make money doing improv.
Yeah.
And I like money, so I've done short form. Absolutely.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yes, make that money. So we went to UC Santa Cruz. It was predominantly white, right? How do you feel looking back? Would you have changed going to like a more diverse school or...
I don't think so. I grew up in a really diverse area, but also where I was one of few Black people. I went to a predominantly Asian high school.
Yeah.
And I'm just used to that.
Yeah.
And then, so I did that, and then I went to Santa Cruz, which was mostly white, but like very, like the wokest white people, which is still a little sleepy, but it's the wokest white people. And then I moved to Chicago, which is like the most segregated city in the country, literally. Right. And it's like 10 years in the past in some ways in terms of that.
Yeah.
So I was really glad that I had that Santa Cruz experience to like hold on to, to be like, I know that it's possible for people to be woke. I've had that experience while I was living in the Midwest.
Yeah. Because you also went to Northwestern there too, and that's how you ended up there. And then you stayed there after you finished your program.
After I dropped out, I have to be honest. Oh, I didn't finish.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought you, oh, wow. You heard it here first. She's a dropout, but this is like your master's program.
No, I finished my master. I dropped out of my PhD, which is the fanciest way you could drop out of school.
She's like, PhD dropout. It should be your new album coming out. so how was it being then in that environment in Chicago doing, you know, comedy and also it being 10 years back? Like how was that experience like both like doing your comedy and also just like living there?
It was interesting. Like, I found, and I think this is true a lot of places, the audience is so far ahead of, like, the producers and gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get comments from people who are making comedy, like, well, why don't you talk more about growing up in the hood? And I was like, well, because I grew up in Orange County, and anyone who's heard me say three words is aware of that.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or, like, I just don't feel like you're really expressing yourself and being yourself. And I'm like, well... What do you think myself is?
Yeah.
Because I am expressing, like if I go on stage and like talk about being sad and being in my pajamas and that's me expressing, that's who I am. If you want me to talk about like having a difficult childhood or running from the gangs on the corner, that's not my experience. That would not be me expressing myself. But so that was difficult, but I always found that audiences were always picking up what we were laying down.
Yeah.
And the audience in Chicago, it's either people from Chicago or people come in from like Indiana or like all over the Midwest. And it's, they're very comedy literate.
Yeah.
They watch a lot of comedy. They watch a lot of sketch comedy. They watch a lot of improv, and they'll pretty much accept anything that's funny.
Yeah.
It's the gatekeepers who are like, well, why don't you try to be more like, you know, insert name of black comedian here.
Interesting. Do you feel like that's also, and do you think that's the case even outside of Chicago? Like, do you think like audiences are actually ready for certain things, but maybe producers or movie heads or TV heads or try to keep things in like the boxes?
Yes, but I found since I've left Chicago, I've had an easier time of convincing people of that. But I don't know if that's because like now I work on a TV show, so maybe now people are willing to believe me, or if it's because maybe in LA or New York, people are a little bit more progressive. But I feel more capable of being like, trust me, let's try it. Yeah. They will go with us here.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned in Chicago is you can do literally anything. You can do anything on stage or on camera. As long as you do it the right way and as long as it's funny enough, people will watch it.
Yeah. So after Chicago, you then went to LA. Mm-hmm. How was it then going? So you went to Santa Cruz, to Chicago, and then to LA. How was that adjustment?
LA, I thought that I would not want to live in LA. And I was there for a couple of months before I moved because I had booked a gig.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much. And I didn't remember loving it. And then I think I realized like what I didn't love was being a child. So I lived in LA, I had been a child. And it turns out when you could drive, LA is great.
It's different.
So I really loved it.
Yeah. And then in LA, then you're here. What brought you to New York?
The show. Yeah.
Okay. The Samantha Bee show. Mm-hmm. Right. How was that process? Did you know that you wanted to be a writer for a show? How did that come about?
I had moved to LA to focus on writing.
Okay.
In Chicago at that time, I was like performing and writing and teaching, to like pay the bills. And that is your whole life. I mean, that's all the hours in the day.
Yeah, like teaching is like nothing more.
Really hard. It's very labor intensive. And if you do an improv show at night, that's it. You've covered all 24 hours. So I was like, if I want to like really do this and really focus on like becoming a television writer, I need to leave Chicago. And my dad called me like actually on his birthday, which tells you about him as a person. He called me on his birthday and was like, why don't you just move back home?
Yeah.
And he was like, if you want to make television, it doesn't make sense for you to be hustling, living in Chicago when I live in LA and have a home that you can live in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dad is like super dad supportive. Yes, dad.
On his birthday.
That is amazing. So it's so funny. So I just had this thought. I just remembered. I remember because I imagine for your future, what I imagine is like you and Shonda Rhimes are going to be like besties.
Yeah.
I can totally.
That's the dream.
Yeah. It's actually weird because I was reading Shonda's book, The Year of Yes.
Yes.
I kind of imagine you reading it to me.
I have bought that book for so many people.
Yeah.
I'm like I hope that Shonda Rhimes knows that I'm out here just evangelizing so hard on her.
Right. Yeah. I mean, her shows are so good. I mean, my summer, I binge watch Grey's Anatomy every summer. Because I can only do like so many weekly shows like waiting, you know? I remember when Scandal first came out, it was you, me, and a friend of yours were in a group Facebook message chat every week, like talking to each other about like, oh my, like when it first came out.
Because nobody was watching
it. No one was watching it.
I maintain that is the best written pilot that's ever been written. The Grace pilot is also very good.
Yeah.
And I feel like people sleep on it because it's like a fun, sexy show. But like if you analyze that pilot, it is the best pilot anyone's ever written.
And Shonda herself, like I would credit her and like Ryan Murphy have changed American television.
Yeah.
Because like didn't she, I think you'll know this, or I think I heard this from you, when Shonda wrote her TV show, she didn't have any last names. When she wrote the pilot, there was no last names, so it allowed her to like cast not specifically towards race. Did you not?
I didn't know that, but the story that I do love about that is that they had written the Bailey character as the Nazi, and then like she came in and she was the best actress for the part, so they just cast her. And like, of course, I'm sure they were imagining casting like a blonde actress or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that kind. But also, I mean, that amazingness of Shonda, but also of having a network who trusts you when you say, "I want this short, tiny black woman to play the Nazi," and who says, "All right, go for it."
Yeah. And I couldn't imagine anybody else being Bailey. Like, everyone is so well cast to a T. And hats, like, And Grey is not to be like a huge commercial for Grey's, but whatever. It's Shonda.
Secretly, that's why we're
here. We're here, really. Just Shonda actually just has hired us to plug her stuff. Not that she needs it. Grey's is still like one of like the number one shows in mm-hmm. its demographic. I think it's in its 13th season. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. That's bananas. And like, you know, down in what's that square with the big lights that we live nearby in New York? Times Square?
Sure.
So, you know, Times Square.
I was like, the Apple Store? What are you talking about?
You might have heard of this place. It's called Times Square. But, like, there's a huge billboard for TGIT. And I just love it because it's like, you know, Kerry Washington is front and center. And then, what's her face? Annalise Keating? No.
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis standing right behind her. And then who plays?
Ellen Pompeo.
And I just love it. It's like, you know, these three women and there's like two of them are black and there's a black woman like leading in the front of it. And it's this huge billboard. And I'm just like, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, 2017.
Yeah.
Right.
I like when I was a kid, people always ask me like, did you always want to do this? And I'm like, no, because when I was a kid, there was nobody to look to. Like there weren't shows like that. Or if there was a black character, it was like a sassy, you know, whatever, yeah. Or if there was a larger woman, she was sad and having a terrible time. And
yeah, or like the joke of things or something.
Yeah. I remember I watched, when I first watched Grey's Anatomy, I was like, oh my God, I had actually stopped watching television. And I don't remember why I ended up watching it. Maybe someone told me about it. And I was like, oh, this is what TV always could have been. And I like re-fell in love with television with that show.
I mean, the power, we talk about this a lot on the podcast, like the power that media does have. You know, I watch, you know, Grey's Anatomy every summer, binge watch it. And I think like two summers ago, I was like, oh, wow, I guess there must be like a lot of female surgeons. And then I did some research. Only 10% of surgeons are women.
That's insane.
Yeah, but if you watch Shonda's show, you would think 60%. But it's great because then young girls are growing up, or people, because there's people of all different races. It's such a beautiful, like, America rainbow on that show. And it, like, it empowers people to be able to say, hey, I can go do that.
That's such a good point. One of my first teachers at Second City, who was the first person who was like, you are good at this, Norm Holly, is a great teacher. He said that the Second City, of course, was all white when it started, and then they cast a couple of actors of color, and that kind of snowballed, and they had a few years, like in the early 90s, where they had very diverse casts.
Yeah.
And then it stopped, and it went back to all white. And the producers came to him, no, Norm is white, but he's like the downest white guy, I guess, because he was the one who they came to, and they're like, where are the black people? Why aren't they here anymore? We have auditions, and they don't come to auditions. What are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
And he goes, and Living Color went off the air. So he's like, black people or people of color watched TV. They saw In Living Color. They saw, oh, sketch comedy is something I can do.
Yeah.
And then they Googled and they found Second City and they showed up there. Mm. And when that thing wasn't there anymore, they stopped doing it. Like, people have to see themselves and see that it's possible for them to do this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, like, now, I mean, SNL has now, like, there's two black women on SNL, which is, like, amazing to get to see that, you know?
And also, like, two such different black women.
So different.
Neither of whom are, like, the stereotypical.
Mm.
And I feel like there was always a place for black people in comedy.
Yeah.
Like, there always has been since the beginning of, a lot of terrible places. But
right, yeah.
Since
yeah.
the beginning of, like, the original, the first American comedic form is blackface minstrelsy. Like, we started making comedy by making fun of black people.
Very true.
But there hasn't always been like a variety of ways to be black in comedy, and to have two black women who are like total opposites,
so,
and both so amazing and both not stereotypical at all, is like a dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Make it rain, make it rain. What's that Rihanna song where she's like, oh yeah, pour it up, pour it up. Watch it all fall down. Donate, donate.
Yes.
Watch it all fall down.
I love it. I love it. Okay, you guys, y'all know that you're the best. You're our corner kids. We love you.
Love you.
You know? Mm-hmm. And we really want to make this podcast way better than it already is, which is magnificent.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
It's the best. It's the best podcast. And we want to make it the better podcast. We are asking for some donations. I'm getting straight up. This is straight talk with Aneke right now.
Yeah, she is just letting it all down.
I turned my chair around like I'm Michelle Pfeiffer and
Dangerous Minds. She's like, is there something we need to talk about? Let's get real.
We're talking about donations. So here's the
thing. For the Maximum Fund community, you know, we have that goal to reach 10,000 new and upgraded members. So it's really simple to even just donate at the $5, $10, $20, even $35, or even upgrade to any one of those.
There are these people who are now calling themselves challenge donors.
What?
And they are pledging to donate extra for every new and upgrading member.
What?
So not only if you donate or become a member or upgrade is your money going well, but it is going to be adding to the amount of money that these challenge donors are putting in.
Yeah.
So that's like 2-for-1 deal to feel good, right?
You know what I heard? I heard some sleigh bells a ringing because Santa Claus is coming to town.
Ting.
And that is you.
Santa Claus
is you.
Who may or may not exist.
We don't know. The kid's out the room, but.
Yeah. Vaguely, lawfully vague.
Lawfully wedded vaguely. All right, so we're really hoping that you go online right now and join us at the $5, $10, $20, or even $35 level. We're going to find out what folks get at $100 and $200 level. But to review, let's go over our favorite, the $35 level.
$35 per month, you get a rocket and gray beer mug because...
I know you love your beer.
You can drink water. You can drink some water out of that, too.
Oh, yeah. If you're not drinking, you can drink water, too. But it's going to be in the shape of a rocket, and that's dope.
It's a big glass for your wine. I'm not judging.
Oh, you could Olivia Pope it. I would love to see Shonda. I know you're watching, and I know Olivia Pope, you're a real person, and you're watching too. Can't wait to see next season on Scandal. She's drinking out of her rocket mug, wearing her Side Eye Your Heroes pin badge.
Yes, I'm into that. Petition that for Shonda Rhimes right now. Get that on the petition. So she can donate at either the $100 level per month and she can become a member in the Inner Circle, which is a monthly culture club, or she can donate at the $200 per month for free. So she can go to the Max Fun Con for free and come see me and James.
Yeah, Shonda, come see us. Shonda, you should come and see us.
And Shonda, maybe you should cast us in one of your shows.
Oh, yeah, both of those. So Shonda and all the other listeners as well. We're not going to name you all because that would just take too much time.
Yes.
But go in at that $200 level if you can make that happen.
Yes.
Well, that is so fantastic and so much. And also for those of you who've already donated, we said this before and we will say it again. Maybe it's time for you just to give it. You know, you're like, you know what? This is the year. I want to do something a little different. I thought I was going to, you know, get a new hairdo. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Something that was going to be different. And
you just want to change it up.
Change it up. Well, you can just upgrade for just $5 more, $10 more, or you can even just double it. Whatever you choose to do. It's a great opportunity to just, you know, kick it up a notch, right? Just kick it up a little bit. And again, like also the great thing is that all of this, it doesn't just go for our show, but it goes to all the wonderful Max Fun shows out there. And there's such a bevy of diverse programming on Maximum Fun.
So many. So much.
There's so many cool shows on us, you know, Lady to Lady, who we met those Lady to Lady ladies in Chicago.
We love those ladies. We love those ladies.
Jesse Thorne, the head man in charge, head HBIC. Head bitch in charge, Jesse Thorne.
Bullseye. Listen to Bullseye that podcast.
I saw
good.
The live show of Bullseye, and it was amazing. It was like I was literally watching like the Tonight Show, like a live production of the Tonight Show. It is like so just a well-crafted, put-together show. And so like you really could, you get comedy culture just so much in this community. And I think like I really believe, and not only the corner kids of who we are, but I believe in the Maximum Fun community too. Like we are in such a pivotal point in our culture and our community. And this is a group that is all about resisting, but also resisting and also having some fun with it too, but also getting and resisting and staying informed and staying active and staying passionate. And it allows us to be able to do that as well because we still got bills to pay y'all too.
So how do we donate then?
Well, it's simple. You do a little mambo number one and you mambo yourself over to MaximumFun.org and give a little head twirl and then click donate.
Ooh, you turn that into a dance. I'm into it.
You might want to stretch first. I don't want anybody to hurt themselves. Mm. And then step two, I want you to shimmy your way. Shimmy if you're with her. Shimmy until you scroll down and you see a list of memberships that you want to choose from. You can shimmy all the way down to 5 or shimmy all the way up to 200 and then stop.
Oh.
And now it's time to reach out and give a little jazz hand.
Yes, I'm doing it.
Whatever hand you want. I'm doing it. And reach for your credit card. Ooh. And enter in just the basic information and then enter it.
Don't shake it too hard. You don't want to have it fall to the floor.
And you don't want those numbers to be incorrect because then you have to do it again. So jazz hand it up. Jazz hand it up. And then boom. Drop it. Drop it like it's hot because you are a member. Mm, yeah, baby. You are a member. And then set four. I want you to wave your hands like you do care. No.
Ooh, just do, nice twist.
Because you care. You care. And you care so much. You're shaving around because you are crazy. And I want you to check the box just saying that you're listening to Minority Corner and then shake it around and yell it to the neighbors and say like, I just donated to Minority Corner. Ooh. I am the Oprah.
This is like a revival.
The Santa. Because you're going to feel so energized. Like, I'm giving you all the steps, and this is going to magically happen to you when you do it. And then, step five, you just sit back, and you just, I want you to cross your arms, right,
arms
left.
Crossed. Yes.
And then just give a nod, because you can just sit back and see that you're it'll just automatically be donated on the reg each
year.
You
don't even have to think about it.
You ain't got
to
do anything. So just sit back and nod. And then look at all your treasures, because you got all them treasures that are coming your way too. And so get your beer, get your wine, get your water, get whatever it is that you did. Pack your bags. Get ready for Max FunCon. Pack now, because I know you like to wait. I know you like to wait.
You got to pick on that outfit when you come and say hi to us.
Call Shonda and say, girl, can't wait to see you there. Can't wait to see you. Or if you just had it at the small level, just look at your pin and be like, awesome. Or be like, I'm going to go get that, you know, bonus content episode.
Yeah, and feel good that you're supporting us.
Yeah. So that's what y'all got to do. Do that dance. That's called the Minority Corner Donate Dance.
I love that dance. I am into that dance. And y'all just got a free dance class from James. And James's classes aren't cheap.
There's not. Yeah.
So yet again, you're getting more free info from us, for free content.
This episode is chock full. You did the... It's just the best of the best. Talent galore. Mm-hmm. You did your research. I taught a dance. It's just, whew, oh my God.
And remember, there's a level for every single budget that you can afford. There's $5, $10, $20 a month, all the way up to $100 and $200 a month. Whatever you can afford, it helps us. Trust us.
There is no such thing as a small amount. It honestly all is so incredibly appreciated. Everybody gives whatever it is that they can. And it just, and you'll be supporting Minority Corner and the entire Maximum Fun family and yourself, because you'll be allowing us to make sure that you all get some amazing content. So yay for you.
Thank you so much. We love you guys. We love this podcast. We love Maximum Fun. We are a community. You, by donating, are making a podcast. You are literally helping us make this podcast. So if you donate and then you listen to the next episode, you'll be like, I helped do that.
They like did it. They're not talking to me. But then you could always upgrade it. You can just always upgrade it. So please remember to take some time and go to MaximumFun.org and hit donate and do the donate dance. Ashley Nicole Black interview, because you got just a little, that was just the tip of the titty, as the kids might say.
That was a titty taste, if you will.
Titty taste. This might have been one of our most, like, I think we didn't even realize how inappropriate, like, this is our most wild, we were wilding out on this episode. We got inappropriate.
This is
on the
inappropriate,
most supposedly professional fundraising episode we were supposed to do.
I know.
And
we're supposed to be trotting out our best material. I think we did.
I think we did. It just snuck up on us. It's, you know, it came out.
We did a good job.
You get what you get.
We can't help ourselves.
We are who we are. You must accept us. And you do. We know you do.
We do. You do. Tuesday, March 28th is Max Fun Meetup Day.
Yay.
So this is a chance for listeners to connect with their fellow Max Fun fans around the world. So, on Tuesday, March 28th at 7 p.m. local time, all you need to do is check the list of meetups, which is at MaximumFun.org/meetups2017, and see if your city is there, and then it will have a place where you need to go, and then you'll be able to go there and meet other people who listen to Max Fun.
And also to close out this awesome, you know, it's like it's a marathon these next 2 weeks. And to close out this marathon of Max Fun Drive, there's going to be a big live show. There will be the live show to close out the drive.
Amazing.
It's a genuine Max Fun extravaganza. That will be...
I love that name. Did we make that up? We didn't.
It sounds like something we would say. but yeah, that's how we know we're at home at Max Fun, because it's like, oh, we would write something like that. They're going to be streaming to the world on March 31st to close out. It'll start at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time on the 31st. And you go to maximumfun.org for more information about that.
Yay!
And that's the show.
James, we fucking did it. We busted out so much shit on this show.
Titties were out, information was out. Jennifer Hudson was here. Ashley Black was here. It was just so big thanks.
Thank you, Ashley Nicole Black, for being on our show.
Thank you so much, and thanks to everybody who's already donated and those who are gonna donate after this episode. Thank you to you.
Thank you, and all of those existing members who are still donating and upgrading and checking our name because we're now listed on there and you love us. Thank you.
And you can continue to follow us on social media, like
Minority Corner with a K on Twitter. And then on Facebook, like our page, Minority Corner with a K, and join the Corner Kid Playground. It's a fun place to share different posts, different information. I posted on there today. Talk to us, send us messages.
And some of y'all are just kind of crazy. I feel like they get to know us in that page too. You think we let our hair down here or put our titties out here? Just wait till you see us on that Facebook page.
Just go on the Facebook page, Corner Kids Playground, and enjoy the floppy titty magic.
Enjoy that floppy titty magic. And on that note, titties out.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.